Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, Cabinet yesterday, as we know, signed off on these cuts to social welfare rates for about 27,000 Ukrainians. Did anyone at the Cabinet table speak out against that decision? Or was it agreed that the message should be sent, don't bother coming, Ireland isn't the place for you anymore?
Well, obviously, we have collective Cabinet responsibility in every decision we take. And I can't go into the details of what exactly was discussed at Cabinet. But what I can say is that we're very much of the view that we have to have equality of treatment with all Ukrainian citizens. Obviously, those who came here since the 14th of March, we have a different treatment for those who came before that. So I think it's important, first of all, to have equal treatment. And secondly, when you have Ukrainian citizens who are in state service accommodation, so they're getting their bed and board, laundry services and indeed other services, well, then I think it's only fair that they be treated as the same as those who came after the 14th of March.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Very clear that.
So it's just I heard this morning on Morning Ireland that there is panic amongst the community that this is going to affect. And I wonder, does that sit well with you, or do you wrestle with the decision personally when you hear that that's what's happening today?
Look, Claire, every decision is very complicated. And what we are very clear is that we have to have compassion at the heart of all our decisions. I think the way we have went about the Ukrainian crisis, when you see we're a country that has opened up our communities, we've provided about 15,000 school places, 20,000 Ukrainian citizens work in our economy. Communities have went above and beyond the call of duty to welcome them. But as a country, we have to ensure that what we do now and into the future is sustainable over the long term, because we do know Russian aggression is continuing in Ukraine, but this is going to go on potentially a lot longer. So we need to ensure that those who are in accommodation and are getting their bed and board, that is sustainable for the state over the longer term. And these decisions hopefully will underpin that.
Mm-hmm. Emma Lane Spollen, who works with the Ukraine Civil Society Forum, said on Drive Time, we may be pushing people into positions where they're exploited. She mentioned sex for rent, labour exploitation, sexual exploitation. And she's concerned that we're taking away the supports that have kept people safe.
Well, this decision, those who face it, we have to remember, are in state-provided accommodation and state-serviced accommodation. So they're getting their food, they're getting their laundry services, they're getting shelter, they're getting a significant number of supports, which is a significant value on from the state already. So I don't see that as an issue. And obviously, we've seen so many opportunities through the Temporary Protection Directive in the wider economy. We see so many Ukrainian citizens holding up many parts of our economy and working there. So there's a significant opportunity in a growing economy with 2.8 million people employed that we are providing as well. So opportunities are there. And also, we have the continuation of benefits like child benefit for our families. So there's a number of supports that these citizens will still gain from. But we have to ensure the decisions we make here are sustainable and can continue into the long term.
So when you mention opportunities, are you saying that these people can go out and work even if they have very young children and they're here on their own?
Well, those who are in state accommodation obviously have challenges if they have children. We do accept that. But the point I'm making is that they have their shelter, they have their meals, they have services provided to them. And that should be a significant support to them into the future. Now, obviously, as I said, the critical thing is government needs to be sustainable. We have endless compassion, but we have to ensure that what we do is sustainable into the long term. And that's what the state is coming from. We need to provide the maximum support that we can over the longest horizon that we can.
I mean, we don't provide weapons to Ukraine. We're a neutral country. Like, if we no longer go above and beyond to provide aid to the people that flee here, Minister, what moral authority do we have at the European Council table on this?
We have huge moral authority. I think if you look at under the European Peace Facility, what we have provided for, we've provided for where Putin has attacked our public infrastructure. We provided spare parts for their electricity networks. We provided spare parts for their water infrastructure. We provided so many first responder uniforms, so many medical equipment that they need facing a huge war of aggression. I remember in my previous post as Minister for European Affairs talking to my Austrian colleague who was out there on a visit when an apartment block right beside her was attacked. And the first people that responded to it, the first responders, the firefighters, were wearing Austrian uniforms. And she could say, well, that's my country's contribution as a country that is neutral. And Ireland stands like that, providing key support to citizens. So we have a very strong track record. And as I said,
Okay, so you've used the Austrian example, and some could say, look, they're in a similar position to us because of their neutral status. They pay their refugees €260 a month, which works out at about €65 a week.
Well, every country is different. And what we have to do is we have to look at the amount of people who have come here and the support we can give. So if we look at the figures, which is very clear to everyone, that from the February 2022, about 141,000 people have come here, many from war-torn countries, and about 106,000 from Ukraine. So if we are looking at supporting people, very vulnerable people, human beings are referring to into the future, obviously we have to have an equality between everyone we support. So we can't have a situation where people who came at one point of time from Ukraine before the 14th of March get a greater payment than those who came after, considering that they are in state-supported accommodation. I really would underline this point, that these people, these vulnerable people, are getting their bed and board. They're getting laundry services and other services provided by the state. So okay. It's not that the state is pulling the rug completely from under them. We're not. And communities have supported them. As I said, look at the education system, about 15,000 school places and about 20,000 working in our economy. And we'll continue to support them.
OK, now shortly on the programme, we're going to be speaking to Catherine Day, who's chairwoman of the External Advisory Group on Ending Direct Provision. And she'll be talking again about the need for the government to follow through on this agreement to have reception and integration centres under state ownership. Is there any clear timeline for that?
So we're currently waiting on a proposal from the Department of Integration in relation to a number of sites where we will have to put in that infrastructure. Again, the challenge is very significant and clear. When you look at the numbers, you know, over an 8-year period from 2013 to 2021, about 23,000 people came through international protection. That's over 8 years. In 1 year, almost, we've surpassed that. Between 2022 and 2023, almost 34,000 people arrived here. So that's an 8-year period, and 1 year really surpassed us. That shows the challenge that we have encountered subsequent to that report. The government is responding, trying to ensure that we have a proper system in place. We have a very fair, strong, rules-based immigration mm-hmm. system.
But on the reception centres and the accommodation centres, is there a plan?
Absolutely. So we're waiting for the minister to come forward with a number of locations that there will be infrastructure put in place, and essentially that will give us the opportunity to assess applications quickly. You've seen through the introduction of safe countries where we can now accelerate.
But we heard that plan was coming in January of this year. That was the first I heard about it on this programme, that we have a plan, we have the sites identified. But now as we come up to the local and European elections, we still don't see any sites being identified.
Well, we will, and we will see it come before Cabinet. And government is also very open and honest with people as it really works and communicates with communities. This isn't easy. You know, this is a very significant challenge, but we will come forward as soon as possible.
After the election?
He has to do his due diligence in all these areas, but he will come forward. And look, Claire, there'll be many elections and many electoral cycles. This problem isn't one that's going to disappear off the landscape. Every country in Europe is facing a massive challenge with unplanned migration. We're trying to respond to it as best we can, and we have tightened up our rules significantly, and you can see the work Minister McEntee has done with our safe countries, deploying another 200 staff into the International Protection Office and bringing enforcement officers onto the front line in the immigration section. So we're working as hard as we can to ensure that people are treated fairly, but it's a rules-based system.
Let's move to your own area now. And you brought these plans for a new enterprise support package to Cabinet. There'll be help for retail and hospitality businesses. And we know they've been hit hard by higher costs. So how will it work? And where is this funding coming from?
So we've brought 14 different actions to Cabinet yesterday, really supporting our SME sector. I know very clearly that our family businesses right up and down the country employ 70% of all people employed in our country, to drive so much economic activity in our community. So what I'm trying to do is support, number one, sectors that are very vulnerable, like our hospitality sector, like our retail sector. So I'm opening up the increased cost of business iCub.ie grant. So we really encourage people, for another 14 days, you have an opportunity now to register again. So I want people to go and do that. So people who have not registered, please go on to iCub.ie and register. Secondly, for those who have registered, I'm bringing forward a second round of payments for those in the hospitality sector and in retail. So that will be another payment they will all receive, some up to €10,000 between both payments. I think that will assist them. I'm also making changes to energy efficiency grants. So if you have and need to update LED lighting, you know, refrigeration, kitchens, you can get up to €10,000 and you only have to contribute 25% of the cost. So again, that can lower your electricity bills every single month, and that's sustainable, improving cash flow. And we're also making changes to PRSI, ensuring that those on the minimum wage do not face the top rate of PRSI. Again, that makes it more sustainable over a longer horizon. So I have a range of measures that we're going through, and one of the critical things we need to do as a government is ensure all proposals, be it a statutory instrument, a regulation or legislation, that we think small first, that we go through an SME test. And I'm ensuring that's going to be right across government into the future.
OK, so this increased cost of business scheme, which you're extending and you're allowing people to benefit from this again, was there a small take-up of it when it was opened the first time?
So we had about 61% of a take-up over the first horizon that we have opened it. Now, I want to clarify a few things. Some people are concerned that if there weren't, if there were an arrears in the rates, that they couldn't qualify for the grant, but they can. Once you have spoke with your local authority, put in place the phased payment agreement, you can claim this grant. So we want to support every single business that's facing the increased costs of doing their work, really supporting their community, and government has their back. We're going to work so hard now over these measures to ensure that they are drawn down and that they are supported. And obviously then we'll go on to the next horizon, which will be the budget, and we'll try and do as much as we can to support businesses.
So there was a fairly low take-up of 61% when you were giving people free money. Was it a very complicated application process?
It's exceptionally straightforward. You actually can do the application in 2 minutes, and that's another point I really want to get across. All you need is your tax clearance certificate. You can download the form, do it online, on your mobile phone, less than 2 minutes, and the cash will come into your bank account. Cash is the lifeblood of business. This will support them. So 61% is significant enough, Claire. I wouldn't really say it's that small a take-up, but we do want more people to avail of this assistance. And as I said, we have a huge amount of other measures, 14 measures that we're introducing, and hopefully that will support business into the future and maintain that 2.7 million people that are employed right across our country.
And the Business Post has reported that the government might be planning a delay to the living wage and a pause to sick pay policy. Is that under consideration?
So what I'm doing now is that obviously we have 5 sick days that are currently in. The horizon is that it's going to 7 and 10 as already planned. But I'm having a look now and reviewing the data that ESRI has done a research paper on these various, the cost and how they're being utilised. And before I make a further decision, I really want to analyse and assess that. And secondly, the Low Pay Commission is due to report to me around the middle of July in relation to the trajectory of the living wage. Again, I've met with the chairperson of Low Pay Commission. I think it's important that I outline to him in terms of where businesses are coming from, the concern that I've met so many business groups up and down the country. I've really given time to so many of their representatives to hear what they are going through, and I have to put that forward as well. So we'll wait until we get a recommendation from the Low Pay Commission. But I do value partnership, and that's an important thing in government, that we've always worked hand in hand with Low Pay Commission, and hopefully that can continue into the future.
So you're saying to the Low Pay Commission chair, take the cost pressure on business into account when it's making its next recommendation on the minimum wage. So you're all but telling them really that there's no need to increase the pay of those who are lowest paid in society.
No, absolutely not. So the first thing I want to say is Low Pay Commission are independent, and I really want to put that view across. But every minister obviously takes the opportunity, and me as a new minister, to meet with the Low Pay Commission. And obviously I have an obligation, Claire, to put forward the view that businesses, representing businesses and representing employees, and the huge amount of work we've done on the employee side and supports with paternity leave, sick leave and the increase in the minimum wage of 12.5% last year. But equally, I have to display the pressure that businesses are under. And I've met so many businesses, and the last thing we ever want to do in this country at the moment is see our jobs decrease, because the critical thing is to keep businesses viable, keep them trading, keep them working in our community.
So you went to the Low Pay Commission chairperson and you represented the view of business, and you said that there are cost pressures here. What did you say on behalf of employees then?
So I've pointed out the support we've given to employees. We've put about €12 billion in packages in the last two budgets up to 2024. I know that inflation has halved now since last November, so we can see significant support for employees, and as well as the regulatory environment that has changed. But I want
so you've
to
told them that the employees don't need an increase, but that the businesses need support.
Look, Claire, I think we're all very clear. We are on a trajectory to increasing officer living wage. I'm not resiling from that one bit. I'm talking about the step change that you do. We've had a very significant step, which was front-loaded to about 12.4%. And when you consider what businesses have been facing they have, over the last decade, probably have less than 3% of increases. So to have all these regulatory changes coming at once, I just want to ensure that I am keeping businesses viable and that I'm keeping jobs for those employees. And that's the key thing, as well as increasing their supports on the other arm, because I have many competing interests. I have to represent the consumer, businesses, employees, employers, and I have to keep that fine balance and walk that tightrope. And I feel I'm doing that to ensure that, one, I'm keeping businesses afloat, but also that I'm supporting employees. And I think I'm doing that quite effectively, and will have an urgency attached to my ministry, because I'm aware of where I have been when I got this job, that where the lifespan of the government is. So I'm going to be working so hard to vindicate all their rights over the future.
Okay, and the pressure is still coming on from the Restaurants Association to cut the VAT rate to 9%. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think government will have to consider all proposals very seriously. What I would say, and being very honest, that if a change is made in that regard, that could absorb a significant amount of the tax package for the budgetary constraint, which is very honest, and we have to be clear about that. Secondly, what I would say is that it is counter-cyclical. So every time we have introduced a cut in the VAT in that sector, you know, employment numbers were falling rapidly. We did it to put a floor under it and stimulate that area. Obviously, we're at record levels of employment. At the moment, in terms of incorporations in the restaurant sector, you know, we've had a huge amount of new incorporations over the first quarter. And I do notice closures, and I hear that absolutely. And so many sole traders have went out of business. But I have to look at the data and the evidence. And the other point I would make is that, you know, we can't just use VAT as a viability mechanism. So in other words, the consumer pays VAT, and we have to be clear on that. You pay it on your price. So if we go into a model that we're reducing VAT essentially to make business viable, it is a dangerous tightrope to
walk. So it won't solve anything, is what you're saying, and the government can't afford to do it, coming up to a budget where we're expecting to have a substantial tax package.
Well, I will work with businesses and obviously work through government. What I'm saying is that if we embark on that policy change, it will absorb a large proportion of the tax package. And we have to be very honest with people at that for that sector. So I want to see what we can do now and obviously work with businesses, because I'm not resiling saying that, you know, I don't disagree with what they're asking for. But I have to be honest and have to really work with them and work across government to see what parameters we have, because we're still waiting. Obviously, for the summer economic statement, that will set out the budgetary parameters. And until we get to that point, we won't have a clear picture in terms of what we have available and how sustainable it is, which is important, Claire, into the future.
Minister, thank you very much for joining us. That's Minister Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.